If you brought a Bible, why don't you open with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles, if you're looking for Chronicles, you're going to find 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, then 1 and 2 Kings, then 1 and 2 Chronicles. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I've been sharing these last few weeks about this idea, this theme for the year of unparalleled praise. Believing that the Lord wants to anoint us this year with praise like nothing we've ever experienced before, that we are going to become a people, that we're going to look back at previous versions of ourselves and say, who was that guy? Who was that gal? I used to think I knew how to praise the Lord, but I'm finding out new things about how to praise. And so here's unparalleled. Here's what unparalleled means. Having no equal or match. Unique in kind or quality, exceptional, incomparable, matchless, unrivaled, and unsurpassable. And the word praise means to glorify, to express approval and great value. And our God is worthy of approval and great value. Amen? So David spoke these words in 2 Samuel 22:4. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Our God is worthy to be praised. We don't praise him because we lack things to do. Pastor Tim, I'm just running out of things to do. I'm getting kind of, what else? Give me some spiritual discipline, some spiritual activities. No, praise is not something to fill our calendars with because we get bored or we run out of our honey-do list. Praise is due because the King is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. The reason we praise God is because he's worthy. You cannot put a price. He is matchless in terms of price and value. And so since you can't put a price on how much praise he's worthy of, you ought not put a limit on how much you praise him. Let me say that again. Since you can't put a price on how much he's worthy of, you should not put a limit on how much you can praise him. And my prayer for us is that we would get a revelation of praise. That just our spiritual eyes would be opened in a new way to see. Church family, praise is not singing a couple songs on Sunday morning. That's like having a carrot saying, I ate this week. I even dipped it in some hummus. Oh, some good praise. I praise the Lord. No, this is a taste, just a taste. More than us singing louder or getting more excited or clapping our hands or dancing around, even though I believe all those things are going to increase in this house. But more than that, my prayer is that we would get a true revelation of what it means to praise. So 1 Chronicles 16, I want to talk about making an appointment with praise. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to make an appointment with praise. It's time to make an appointment with praise. Every one of us in this room, no matter what season of life you're in, if you're single, if you're young, married with kids at home, if you're an empty nester, if you're a widow, no matter what season of life that you are in, here's what I know about each and every one of you. You have an appointment coming up on your calendar. There is something on the schedule. It's an upcoming doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment or a specialist appointment or a massage or a meeting or a family get-together or an appointment with a designer or a contractor or a counselor, a parent-teacher appointment, or everyone's favorite, an appointment with their pastor. Some appointments you look forward to and some not so much. Appointments are on our calendar. Some of you look forward to scheduling things. Some of you can't stand making those appointments. But each and every one of us has appointments. And I believe that we are in a need of making an appointment with praise. So we're going to learn from our chief praise example in our Old Testament for sure, and that's David. In 1 Chronicles 16, we find a David having just brought the Ark of God into what's called the Tent of Meeting. It was previously held in captivity by the Philistines, who were the Israelites' enemies, or one of the enemies of the Israelites. They had taken it back from the Philistines. They had brought it to the house of Abinadab. From the house of Abinadab, it went to the house of Obed-Edom, And then now he is bringing it back to Jerusalem. And so this is the Ark of God. What is the Ark of God? It is the place where God's presence dwelt. This is before Jesus' death and resurrection. This is before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people. And now the Holy Spirit now lives in us. This is before that. God's presence dwelt in an ark. And so let's read here, starting in verse 1. And they brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent of David that he had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all of Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. Second to him was Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mathiah, Eliab, Beniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priest, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. So here comes the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. I mean, this is cause for celebration. The presence of God was not with the people of God. Heartbreaking. They got it back. Had it in the house of Abinadab, had it in the house of Obed-Edom, finally bringing it back to where it belongs, where it's supposed to be, in Jerusalem. And so this is cause for celebration. Throw a party. What do you do when you throw a party? The first thing you do is get food. It's so biblical, isn't it? First thing he did was distribute food. I don't know about the raisins and the bread. You could take the raisins out for me. But they handed out the food, right? Threw a party. And the second thing that David did was he appointed people to praise. Let's read two verses again. Verse 4. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke or to welcome, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And then verse 7. David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord. He appointed people. He found people in the congregation amongst the people of God and said, you're on praise duty. Thank God through song right now. Could you imagine if we started doing that on Sundays? Lead us in the next song, please. Could you imagine? Woo! Might scare some people away. Think I'll go find another church, right? He appointed people. Praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. And this wasn't something that David just did in this moment as a one-time thing, as a special ceremony to the Ark of God. This was something that he built into his kingly ministry as the king over Israel, is that he appointed people to praise all throughout the kingdom. So much so that he passed on specific instructions and the structure that took place around praise to his son Solomon. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 23, David passes the baton of ministry onto his son Solomon, and he gives him specific instruction on how many people are to praise. This is what it says: 4,000 musicians, 4,000 musicians, 4,000 gatekeepers. How many ushers do we have this morning? 2, 3? 4,000 gatekeepers and 288 singers. That's nearly 10,000 people that David had on, listen, full-time staff. You say, what do you mean staff, Pastor Tim? What do you mean staff? These were their full-time jobs. All the people throughout Israel were assigned certain duties. They were to be workers in the field. They were to be in the military as the Lord sent them out to conquer new land. And he had a staff of 10,000 people that he fed. He clothed their family. He took care of them. Your job is to praise the Lord. Now, how could someone justify staffing 10,000 people to praise the Lord when there's other work to be done? In our society today, we can't even fathom this. We can't even fathom. Come on, the 10,000 people, you could put those people to work, being productive, getting something done. We live in a productivity-driven culture. that the thought of stopping and saying, I'm just going to spend the next 30 minutes praising God. Man, 2 minutes in, you're thinking, I should probably be cleaning the garage. I got groceries to do. Anybody got laundry to do? No, don't think about that. Stay in church. Right? All these things that mentally we're praying, we're praising, whatever we're doing, we're trying to spend time with the Lord. And this is just a hard thing to swallow in our culture. How important was praise to David? I was reading through some of these other passages, and there's different numbers given at different seasons, depending on how many people were with Israel at that time. There's one point where all the Levites, that's the priestly family, all the Levites totaled 38,000. And the Levites were given specific duties to minister in the house of the Lord, care for the house of the Lord, and out of those 38,000, 4,000 of them were appointed to praise. Now, I'm just looking at these numbers, and I don't know if this jumps out to you. This jumped out to me. What's 4,000 of 38,000? That's about a tithe, isn't it? It's a tithe and a little bit. And I highlighted it in my Bible, and I wrote down, praise is tithe. I don't know how you tithe. This is how I tithe. When I tithe to this church, I give 10% plus a little bit. I round up. It's like tipping generously, right? You don't tithe to the penny, to the dollar. You with generosity in your heart, you say, I'm gonna do a little bit more. What is praise? Praise is like tithe. And I believe that just as the Lord blesses, his blessing rests upon those who tithe, I believe that the blessing of the Lord rests upon those who praise. I believe that there's blessings for those who live a life of praise. Praise is a holy thing. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will praise the Lord at all times. All times. What time of day do you praise? All the time. All the time. Oh, what's that? What time is it? Oh, I have an appointment with praise. I have an appointment. What time is it? It's time to praise the Lord. It's time for me to fill my mouth with praise and lift up the name that is above every name. Psalm 45:17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. How's that for a vision statement for your life? That I am going to praise God in such a way that every generation that comes after me and every nation that is around me will praise the Lord. Goosebumps are not a necessary sign of the Holy Spirit, but that inspires me to think I can live my life in such a way that I will cause other nations and generations to praise the Lord. Just this week, I was a part of two different celebration of life services, two different funerals, and both of them, amazing testimonies. Just hearing the faithfulness of these two people who love the Lord, and to hear their children and their grandchildren loving Jesus, serving Jesus because of their love for Jesus. There's nothing like it to see other generations and nations praise because you praised. Can I tell you something? Your praise inspires others to praise. Your praise inspires others to praise. And when you lift your voice and when you lift your hands, you should be doing it for him and nobody else. And yet, it blesses those around you. That one's blessed right there. His praise will continually be in that child's mouth. It's contagious. Praise is contagious. You know, bitterness is contagious. Worry is contagious. Complaining is contagious. You ever been around people who complain? Oh, if you haven't, it's probably you. I'm joking. But seriously, Bitterness is contagious. Negativity is contagious. You know what else is contagious? Joy, peace, love, compassion, mercy, positivity, praise. Praise is contagious. It's contagious. In an atmosphere like this, your praise inspires other people to praise. Your hands lifted high inspire other people to raise their hands and lift them high. You can either stew in your potentially sad state, or you can choose to praise the Lord. That was my whole message last week. Choose to praise the Lord. Make a decision to praise the Lord. Psalm 22:22. I will tell of your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. I will tell of your name to the brethren and sistren. We'll include the sisters in the house. And in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. So to those of you who are timid and shy and more reserved, to those of you who would say, well, Pastor, my praise is a private thing. My love for the Lord is it's a very personal, intimate thing. And so I don't share it with others. It's just me and Jesus. It's just in my heart. Well, do yourself a favor and let it out. Let it out. Let it out. When's the last time that you told your wife that you loved her? Well, I told her on my wedding day. And I'll let her know if I change my mind. Right? You heard that before? Oh, my. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise. Pastor, that makes me very uncomfortable. Well, it's time to get uncomfortable for Jesus. Get over yourself and praise him. I've said this so many times. This has got to be the safest place for you to get uncomfortable. You might not want to start a dance praise party in your lunchroom at work this week. But you could probably do something like that here. This is the safest place. I guarantee you this is the safest place for you to get a little loud and praise the Lord. And to have people who just go, they're inspiring me. I'm gonna do a little Pentecostal sway. It just starts like this. You just start baby steps. Just the sway. And then once you start, you can't stop. When the music starts, I just immediately start swaying. It's like a metronome. The scripture says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Just picture that. He sits on top of our praise. He sits. He's enthroned like a king on his royal throne. His seat of honor is our praise. He is not enthroned upon a sermon. He's not enthroned on a prayer meeting. His presence is there. Everything has value. The sermon has value. The prayer has power. The fellowship has power. They all have its place. But he's enthroned on our praise. He sits on our praise. Why does a king have a throne? Because he's worthy. He's worthy of a special seat of honor. So why does he seat himself on our praise? Because he's worthy. Our God's throne, David says, rests upon our praise. If you want to exalt God as king over your life and over your circumstances, praise him. If you need King Jesus to come and sit on your circumstances, praise him. If you want to be reminded of his presence that is in you and with you and all around you, I know so many people love the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives inside of them, but they don't feel close to God. I just don't feel his presence. You want to feel his presence? Praise him. Praise him. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Listen, the word enthroned can mean this: abide, dwell, inhabit. Here's my favorite: lurk. Lurking. That's a little sneaky. Have you heard of Jehovah Sneaky? One of the names of the Lord. It's not in the Bible. He's lurking. He is lurking in our praise. Now, the idea of lurking is this imagery of hiding. So let me say this to you. If you feel like you haven't found the presence of the Lord, maybe it's because you haven't been praising him. Because if you want to find the Lord, he's in your praise. He's in your praise. Well, I just don't feel close to the Lord. Sing a song. Lift up your voice. Begin to praise him. Don't ask him for something. Don't pray. Praise. The word enthroned can also mean married. God is married to your praise. There's nothing more intimate in your relationship with the Lord than praise. its closeness, its presence, its intimacy. God has a covenant relationship with our praise, and David put such an emphasis on praise in his ministry and in his reign as king. He wasn't a perfect man. David fell into sin and pride and had all kinds of strategies on how to cover up his sin. David was not a perfect person, but he walked in an anointing concerning praise. The Lord would send him in to Saul when Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit, and he would just play the lyre. He would play the harp, and the demons would leave. There was an anointing upon David's life to praise. There was an anointing on his life to experience the goodness of God. Scriptures say that David was a man after God's heart. And I believe when you have a heart after him, you praise. You praise him. David was so consumed with praising the Lord, he built the structure of it into the Israelites' lives. Nobody wondered what was important to David. Gee, I wonder what David values. I wonder what David sees as our responsibility as the people of God. Nobody had to wonder. Praise. Everywhere. There's a person over there, and there's a guy over there, and there's a Levite over there, and there's a priest over there. And every morning and every evening and all throughout the day, their job was to praise the Lord. Stationed to praise. Here's the imagery that I thought of for us as a local church. Every person serving in this local church, you might not know this yet, but you're stationed to praise. In the parking lot, our greeters, our ushers, our sound technicians, our children's ministry workers are on assignment to praise the Lord. All throughout this place, called to praise. David, again, employed people and gave them a job description. Ready? Praise the Lord. Now you say, Pastor Tim, if you employed me, then I would praise the Lord. If you literally, David literally paid people to praise Jesus. You say, if you literally paid me, I'll praise Jesus too, Pastor. Sign me up for that. But that's not my point. The point is that David saw praise as so central and essential and vital that he scheduled it and he instructed people to do it. Now, I can just imagine in 2023, I can just imagine people responding to this kind of leadership. I can just imagine. But David, I don't really feel like praising. You ever recognize that this is our culture? Feelings. Everything's feelings. I don't feel, oh, this sounds unauthentic, Pastor Tim. I can't just turn it on. Like if I don't feel like praising the Lord, am I not lying? Is that not disingenuous? We live in a culture right now that's all about being in tune with our feelings. Feelings are great helpers and they're terrible leaders. You don't live your life by your feelings. You don't wait till you feel like praising to praise him. Sometimes I think it would do us good if we had every one of us, if we had a person in our life who came up to us and said, praise him. Now's a good time to praise. Why don't you praise him right now? And gave us an assignment to praise the Lord. We made a decision last week to praise him. I choose to praise. It's a decision. How many of you have ever made a decision and lacked follow through? The Lord is present. Don't lie in the house of the Lord. Come on, hands all across. We'll have an altar call for us later. A decision is wonderful, but come on, we make decisions all the time. Oh, I'm never going to eat donuts again. I ate three, and now never again. And that'll last about as long as the next time you drive by Tim Hortons. Decisions are wonderful, but you need to follow through with discipline. You need to follow through with structure. And this is when I'm going to praise the Lord, and this is how I'm going to praise the Lord. We can go through the next 12 months of this year talking about praise, but if you don't make a decision to praise, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. You might learn something, but you know it's actually dangerous to learn something and not live it? Lord, make us doers of the word and not hearers. I don't want to learn something about praise. I want to praise. Schedule it. Make a rhythm of it into your life. Let me take you back to some of the events that led up to 1 Corinthians 16. So I mentioned prior to this passage that we already read that the temple was with the ark of the Testament was with the Philistines, and then from there they got it back and they brought it to the house of Abinadab, and then they tried to bring it back to Jerusalem, but they didn't make it. What happened? The story's in 2 Samuel 6. You can make note of it or you can look at it later. I'm not going to read from there. But 2 Samuel 6 and 1 Chronicles 15 are the same story. You've got to read them in tandem to see all of it together. Many of you know the story. It's one of the most unpleasant stories in all of Scripture that we just wish we could erase. Anybody ever pray for a spiritual eraser before? Take that part out of the Bible. A man named Uzzah, he was right where the ark was. They had placed it on an ox cart. Oxen were leading the cart. The ark is on top of the ox cart. One of the oxen stumbles, and Uzzah does what every single one of us would do. He reaches out his hands to steady the cart, to steady the ark. And the scripture says that because of Uzzah's error, that's all it says, because of Uzzah's error, he died in that moment beside the ark. And just like you and I would be shocked and horrified at what just happened, David was shocked and horrified, and he went and called himself a meeting with the Lord. So he was angry with the Lord, the Bible says. He said, God, what are you doing? How are we going to get this back there if every time somebody makes a mistake or does something that they die? And so that's why the ark stayed at the house of Obed-Edom, because they were too scared to continue on with the journey. And it was during that season of life that David got a revelation. David finally understood what he had did wrong. And again, you have to read 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles together to see this. So in 1 Chronicles 15, in verse 12 and 13, he tells the Levites and the priests, he says, this time you, who? The Levites and the priests. Was Uzzah a Levite or a priest? No. This time you, the Levites and the priests, are to bring up the ark of God, because it was because you did not carry it last time that Uzzah died. So David had this revelation. It wasn't that Uzzah did something wrong, it's that Uzzah was in the wrong place. He wasn't supposed to be there. The people who were assigned to bring the ark of God to Jerusalem was to be who? The praisers. The people who are to carry the presence of God are to be people who praise the Lord. The people who carry the presence of God are to be people who praise the Lord. Uzzah didn't do anything wrong. His motives were good. You think, wow, God judges the heart, doesn't he? Wasn't Uzzah, didn't he have good motives? The heart, wasn't his heart good? He was trying to save the thing that held the presence of God. I believe it was a noble thing that Uzzah did. But Uzzah died not because it was his fault, but because it was David's fault. Because he was in the wrong place. It'd be like sending out your most unskilled soldier to the front of the battle lines. Those who are to carry the presence of God are to be those who praise God. And I believe that there are a lot of us in the church, a lot of Christians today, who are wanting to walk in the power of God, but we're not seeing his power because we're not filled with praise. If we want to see power, we've got to become people of praise. If we want to see signs and wonders and miracles, we've got to become people of praise. Christine and I were at a conference last week, and one of the pastors was sharing about a time that he had traveled to a nation where there was so much persecution for the church. And there was a small gathering there, and he was preaching through a translator, and he was preaching on one of the churches in the book of Revelation. So he had this great message prepared. He preached it through a translator, and he finished his message, and he went and he sat down on the stage. You know, the old school setup where the pastors have to be on the stage. He sat down on the stage, and the people are talking to the translator, and nobody's standing up, and they're not leaving, and he's going, what's going on? So the translator finally turns around, and he says, they want more. He's like, but that was my sermon. I'm done. That's all that I prepared to say. Yeah, they want to hear about all the rest of the churches. There's six more in there. They want more. You ever wonder why there's so many signs and wonders and miracles in areas of the world where there's great persecution? I believe there's great hunger. Where there's hunger, there's praise. And where there's praise, there's power. My prayer is that we, not just this church, we in the Western world will become a people who are hungry for the Lord like never before. That we would become a people who are more interested in what the Lord wants to speak than what time is it, because I've got chicken in the oven. Oh, what time is it? Oh, what time does service end? What time is service over? No, I'm here to praise the Lord. I have an appointment with praise. And the greatest priority of my heart is not lunch and a Sunday afternoon nap. It's I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. It's time to schedule an appointment with praise. Is there anybody in the room who's willing to get hungry for God with me? Anybody in the house who's hungry to have a heart like David? Make me a praiser. Make me a praiser. David realizes that the reason Uzzah died was because the wrong people were carrying it. Do you know why we take time every week in our services to do praise and worship? Hint, it's not to fill time. It's not to sing until everybody gets here. Second song, sir. It's okay, more people are coming. Just keep singing, everybody. Make sure everybody's here for Pastor's sermon. It's not to fill time. The reason why we praise him, church, is because we become the priests who bring in the presence of God. We bring the presence. He inhabits himself on our praises. If we don't praise him, he won't come. Now, that's really messing with a lot of your theological framework, because there's some of you who are just so aware of this thing called omnipresence. So you're like, Pastor Tim, God's, first of all, God's everywhere. That's one layer of complexity. Second of all, if I'm a believer, God's in here. So he's out there and he's in here. So what more do I have to do for him to be here? He's there, he's here. What do you mean he's not here if we don't praise him? It's the difference between omnipresence and manifest presence. There's a difference between the Lord being everywhere and the Lord showing up in a room where you meet him in an experience, where you have an encounter with God. God is omnipresent in that he's everywhere, but do you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus? He was there like never before. There's a difference between God being everywhere and being in the room. If you live your life by omnipresence, then what are we doing in a church on Sunday morning? Let's just go to the casino. God's everywhere. I'm just going to praise the Lord at the slots. Praise you, Jesus. Black or reds, Holy Spirit. If God's everywhere, why are you here? Seriously. Because you know that there's a difference between God being everywhere and God being in a room because we praised him, because we prayed, and because we sought his face. God shows up more when we invite him more. I don't know about you, but I want as much of God's presence as I can get. Fill up the room, fill up the room, fill up the room, fill up the room, Holy Spirit. So David gets the praisers carrying the ark, and they're on their way from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. Not only did David say, praisers, you're the ones carrying the ark, but this is what he said. Every six steps, stop and make a sacrifice. Every six steps. Can you imagine? Every six steps, stop. We're going to make a sacrifice. We're going to praise the Lord. Why? Because we are so aware that he is worthy of our praise. That I don't even want to take that seventh step without his blessing and anointing on the next six. What would it look like for us to build a rhythm of praise into our lives so that every few steps we stopped and praised the Lord? What would it look like? What would it look like if after every 6 days we stopped and praised the Lord? Oh, wait a minute. Is that what we're doing right now? See, there's a reason that the church gathers once a week. There's a reason why we have this big gathering. It's because at the very least, listen to me, I heard a pastor say this and it stuck with me. God deserves the first dime of every dollar, the first moment of every day, and the first day of every week. He gets your first of everything. First dime of every dollar, first moment of every day, first day of every week. I don't ever have to wonder what I'm doing next Sunday. What are you doing next Sunday? I'm going to church. You say, of course you are, pastor. You're the pastor. But I don't come to church because I'm the pastor. I come to church because I'm a child of God. I don't come here because I'm paid to be here. I'm come here because I love Jesus. I never before I was ever on staff, we were here. We were in this church before I was ever on staff. And I never wondered what I'm doing. Well, what do you want to do next Sunday? You want to go for breakfast? You want to go golfing? No, I want to praise the Lord. It's not legalism. It's not, oh man, if I go golfing, I'm going to get struck by lightning. Come on. It's because I love Jesus, and I'd rather be in his presence. And if I go to praise him first, I'll do better on the back nine in the afternoon. Hallelujah. Oh. What do you do when you come to church? Come on, you're making an appointment to praise. It's in my calendar. I will praise the Lord. I'm going to do it. And I'm not just going to do it alone. I'm going to get together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them I know and some of them I don't. And I'm going to worship Jesus because I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to worship him. David was a little bit more intense than once every 7 days. Psalm 119, 164 says this, 7 times a day I praise you. 7 times a day. 7 times. All throughout the day. What would it look like if we had reminders set on our watches and on our phones 7 times a day? Again, I'm not preaching legalism. I'm not preaching, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim. I only did it 6 times yesterday. What's my penance? No. But to have a heart that says all throughout my day, and not just generically, but here's what I'm planning on doing this week. I'm planning on building in a rhythm of praise into my days. A rhythm of praise where I have specific moments where I know I'm going to praise the Lord. David returned back to Jerusalem. Let me read this. 2 Samuel 6:14 says this, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. I wonder what it would look like if in this room, we'd have to spread out the chairs a little, I know. But come on, just go with me here. What would it look like if we danced before the Lord with all our might? Now, here's what's one thing that's going to happen. Because we read that his wife, Michal, was watching David as he was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And if you know the story, you know this. Michal is looking out the window. May I remind you, this is the lady who loved David. This is King Saul's daughter. That when David killed Goliath, he said, one of the things that you're going to get as a prize is you get to marry one of my daughters. And one of the king's daughters, the oldest, did not want to marry David. Michal said, I love this man. I want to marry him. And the woman who loved him now looked out the window at him as he praised the Lord. And it says this, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She now, the same woman who had loved him and had affection for him and the mighty man of God that he was, she now looked out the window and she hated him because of how foolish he looked in her eyes. This is not how a king acts. This is not how a king treats himself in front of others. And David speaks to his wife. I wonder, men, how many of you would be so bold? David says to his wife, Michal, it was the Lord who appointed me, not you. So I will praise the Lord. And then he said this, I'll become even more indignified than this. You ain't seen nothing yet. I will gladly look foolish to people for Jesus. So long as I don't look like a fool to Jesus, I will look foolish for Jesus. I'll become even more undignified than this. And the scriptures say that Michal was barren from that day forward because of her hatred towards David. Do you want to live a fruitful life? Don't hate praise. You want to live a fruitful life, a life where there is results and blessings and answered prayers? Become a person who praises the Lord. Become a person who loves praise. Now, David didn't change, though his wife hated him. He stayed to be a man of praise. Let me ask you this. Do you love praise? Or have you allowed your heart to become bitter towards others who praise him? Here's what's going to happen. If in this place we become a people who do a little bit more dancing and a little bit more praising and there's a little bit more side-to-side swaying of the hips happening in church, here's what's going to happen. Can I be honest with you? Some people are not going to like it. Grumpy Christians, right? You met any of those? Some people are not going to like it. This is weird. So-and-so is a little strange. This is a little bit too much. David's wife hated him because he loved Jesus so much. So can I encourage you today that we need to be a people, if you're going to praise him unhindered, you need to be okay knowing some people are not going to be okay with how you praise the Lord. Now listen to me. The mark of great praise is not in maximum body movement. Our brains go into weird places, right? Well, pastor, I'm just going to run around all service long. And then everybody will know. No. Listen to me. The point is this. Worship him as if nobody was around. In the moment that you start thinking about what other people are thinking about, especially in those moments, just stop and say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Keep me focused on you. This isn't a show. This is not about becoming a dramatic church. It's about becoming a church who loves Jesus so much we don't care. We don't care what other people think. And if you need some motivation to praise him, if you need some help praising, let me close with this. If you need some help praising the Lord, let me read this to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You need some motive to praise Jesus? He went to the cross for you. And he looked like the greatest fool in all of human history. A man who did signs and wonders, and they said, come down, save yourself. And he said, no, because I'm dying for my people. Jesus looked like a fool in the eyes of the world for you. So how about we look like fools for him? Amen? Stand to your feet with me this morning. And come on, could we just praise him in this moment? Why don't you just lift your voice and praise the Lord? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice. You don't need a pianist in the background to set the mood. Just praise him. Lift your voice. Lord Jesus, we praise you in this place, God. We worship you, Lord, because you are worthy of our praise, because you inhabit our praise. And Lord, we desire to praise you in such a way that every generation after us and every nation around us will praise the Lord. And I desire, Father, that Niagara Worship Center would be a people of praise such that all of Niagara would witness our praise and they themselves would praise the Lord. Lord, I pray for our city right now. And Lord, on behalf of the Niagara region, Lord, we praise you. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. And Lord, I believe you have appointed us and stationed us just as David appointed priests and Levites. And you have commanded us to be in Niagara, to be in Thorold, to be in Welland, to be in Niagara-on-the-Lake, to be in Crystal Beach, and to praise the Lord where we are. So Lord, I pray that you would fill our mouths with praise. Lord, I pray that you would give us the same spirit that was upon David, to love you so much, to have so much adoration and affection in our hearts to you, Lord, that for us to respond in any and every circumstance by saying praise the Lord would not be strange. Lord, that we would be a people who don't just say, that's awesome, or that's really cool, Lord, but make us a people who say praise the Lord. God, may we be a people, may I be a person who in my own vocabulary, I say praise the Lord. Lord, may you get glory through our lives and may we continue to praise you. Lord, with David, as David did, with all of our might, with all of our might, make us praisers. And I believe that when we praise you, your presence will be in this place. As we praise you in our families, your presence will infiltrate our homes. Lord, as we praise you with our spouse and with our children, your power will fill the room. Sickness will leave. Demons will leave. Depression will leave. Not because we cast out the devil with 17 different strong statements of faith, but because we just praised the Lord. And the devil can't stand when we praise the Lord. So Jesus, we glorify you in this place, and I just pray your blessing upon every person in this place, every member of this church, every person who worships here, Lord God. And I pray that this week, open their eyes. Give them a revelation of praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a shout together today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, when we praise Him, when we praise Him, we're not praising a people, we're praising You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.